We used to host the show live each and every Tuesday. Because of the summer and just schedules, I've sort of changed things up temporarily to the first and the third Tuesday of each month. So, you know, July had an extra Tuesday in there, so it seemed like it was a really long month. But I've missed you. I've missed you. And I have a few different topics that I want to touch on tonight. But as I was mentioning earlier, right before 8 p.m., tonight, August 6th, sorry, I'm fiddling with my buttons here. One second, sorry. Tonight is August 6th is National Night Out. I think I'm saying it correctly, in the United States. So this is when the communities come together. So I know in my neighborhood, I passed three of them just when I went out to run out to the store, and the store that I want to get to, the road is closed because of National Night Out. But I didn't even realize that was the reason. So, okay, lost my train of thought there. I have a few different topics, as I've said, but if just want to give you the information of where you can, if you're on the phone, welcome. If you're not on the phone and would like to be on the phone, the number to call is 213-992-4358. And when you dial that number, you'll just hear the live audio streaming. On the confettilive.com website, on that URL, that will take you to the live video stream. So you will also not just hear audio, but you'll see video. Oh, wow, I forgot to set us up on Mixlr. I have too many things going on. Sorry, I should have set up the live audio stream, but I forgot to do that. But we'll be okay. The show is recorded. I'm recording it right now, as you know, in real time. But if 8 p.m. Eastern set, oh, come on. If 8 p.m. Eastern doesn't work for you, just know that the replay of the show is usually up in about 24 hours, sometimes less than that if I put my skates on. So, if you are not on the Confetti Talk Show email list, why not? That's the best way to know when a live show is going to begin. So just go to confettitalkshow.com. And if you look in the sidebar, or if you're on a mobile device, just scroll all the way down and you'll see a page where you can just enter your email address. If you're in the United States and would like to get a text message when the show is about to go live, because, you know, very few of us are go any place without our cell phone, except me. Except me, I'm cutting that nonsense out. I'm on a crusade. You can get a text message right before the show goes live. And yikes, I've got, oh, I should put that. It's a little hot in here, but okay, I'm going to keep going. So I have a message, a voicemail that I want you to hear from Claire in Belfast, who has a question about going out to meet venues in her area. And I want to talk a little bit about wedding planner burnout. We actually have a very high turnover in this industry. I just want to touch a little bit about, touch on that a little bit. But I also wanted to mention something that I was hoping to mention up during our last show. And I don't look at a whole lot of television. Although the last few weeks, I always say one thing and then contradict myself. I don't look at a lot of television. I made that commitment to myself about over a year ago that I was just going to cut out TV because I just couldn't get anything done. Not that I'm a TV addict anyway. So I watch TV on the weekends primarily, which is a huge, huge treat for me. I feel like someone in grade school where the parents are just denying them access to TV during the week. That's my self-imposed restriction, and I can get a lot more done because TV can be very distracting. My daughter was in my office the other day. She said, "Mom, you need a TV in here." And I thought about it and then dismissed it and then thought about it and dismissed it. And I'm thinking about it again, but I don't think I want a TV in here. But occasionally, on Sundays, you get a whole bunch of the reality TV shows, right? I don't even know if there's any, you know, like Bravo. If you have Bravo, doesn't even have, I think everything's reality on that channel. So NeNe Leakes is one of is a very bright and shiny character, for lack of a better term, on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And a few weeks ago, I noticed that I got notification that NeNe Leakes, who is, and I won't, if you watch the show, you know who I'm talking about, but she remarried her ex-husband, I guess is how you say that. But so she's got a show, her own show coming up about the wedding. I think it's I Dream of NeNe, N-E-N-E, November Edward. But NeNe, what caught my eye was that NeNe Leakes was or is considering being a wedding planner. I thought, that's interesting. So I was sort of digging around to find out some more information about that. And I thought, you know, I should reach out to Nene and see, you know, if she was real serious about that. But I think there's a whole lot of stuff going on with Nene Leakes beyond wanting to be a wedding planner. Not to mention that Nene was having beef with her wedding planner. So I was reading this today, and I just wanted to share some of the things that jumped out at me. So Nene Leakes, the headline is, Nene Leakes steps out after she responds to wedding planner Tiffany Cook, who is suing her for $2.5 million. So apparently her wedding planner, or the person who claims to be her wedding planner, is suing Nene Leakes. So let me just give you the bits that that jumped out at me. In her suit filed in Georgia, Cook, who is the wedding planner, claims that Leakes, Nene Leakes, promised to pay her, and this is, listen to this, to pay her 15% of the entire wedding budget plus fees, design and execution of the wedding plus travel expenses to the event. So though Cook, the wedding planner, claimed that the 45-year-old Bravo star did pay the initial down payment of $18,750. That's just the down payment, $18,750. She hasn't seen the percentage fee of $270,000 plus $800. I hope I'm saying my numbers right because there's a lot of digits. $889,000 for design, and $1,750 for four coach plane tickets from Florida to Georgia. This totaled to, well, a couple commas there, $1,114,000. It's the best part of $1,115,000 of a $1.8 million budget, which she is suing for. That's huge, right? But Nene's saying that, you know, that's not her wedding planner. Her wedding planner is actually Tony Conway. And all the rest of that. So it wasn't so much the ins and outs and the juicy gossip, but just those fees are really out there, right? But you notice there are different levels of the fees. So she's charging, the wedding planner claims there's a fee for her service, but then she's doing what a lot of celebrity wedding planners do, which is the norm, and that's to charge a percentage of the budget. So when you're dealing with a budget that's in the million, you know, beyond a million, we're talking about some serious money. Now, I wonder, I'm just curious, do you think planning a wedding at that level is very different than planning a wedding for, say, $50,000? What do you think? Because in my mind, a wedding is a wedding is a wedding. I know I'm oversimplifying that, but those fees are kind of crazy. I shouldn't say kind of crazy. Who am I to knock that? But just again, I'm going to repeat this because I had to read that a couple of times. So the initial down... Nene Leakes apparently promised to pay a 15% of the entire wedding budget. So when you're planning those high-end weddings, a lot of times the fee is based on the percentage. The higher the budget, the more your fee. But she's also charging for fees, design, and execution. Her percentage of the fee was $290,000 for design. $890,000 for design. I'm beginning to wonder what kind of design that is. And, you know, a measly $1,700 for four coach tickets. So that's a, whoa, right? And then Nene had a couple of tweets where she said, you know, your wedding planner is not supposed to add stress, and a lot of wannabe wedding planners. You know, if you're doing your job, and, you know, even if you're not targeting celebrities, if you're doing your job and your vendors are recommending you and you're making your mark, it's not difficult for someone, it's not unreasonable, should I say, for someone, a celebrity, to reach out and contact you. So my point, other than these astronomical fees, is that you want to plan now to be ready. You may not necessarily pursue celebrity clients, but just doing your job and being on your A game, believe it or not, will set you apart from many, many wedding planners. A lot of us aspire to plan weddings for a living, but my next point, which is about wedding planner burnout, I've been in the industry for several years. Granted, the last few years, I haven't planned as many weddings, but I've been planning weddings But a lot of the folks, a lot of the students that I trained at Wedding Planning Institute, a lot of the people that reached out to me a few years ago are not doing this anymore. It's a very small percentage of wedding planners that stick with it. And I'm not saying it to knock anyone, but I think a lot of times people see weddings as, and planning weddings as, a very glamorous job. I can tell you right now, there's a lot of grunt work. Any event that you plan just requires you to be meticulous and pay attention to details, because one small detail can have the whole event turn upside down. Couple that with running a business. Running any kind of business it's not easy. If it were easy, we'd all be running businesses and not, we wouldn't be employees. So keep that in mind. And I'm not here to put you off, but I'm just telling you like it is. A lot of us that get into the industry don't stick with it. And a lot of people that I ran in, I'm repeating myself, I run into over the course of the last just 3 years, some people that have actually been on the show and talked about what they have done, I, you know, go in and double check websites and they're not there. They're not there. So, you know, right now, I know a lot of, and again, I'm not saying anything, and I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal. Can I tell you a sidebar about the word pedestal? I was on Craigslist a couple years ago. No, don't judge me. I wasn't looking for a partner, but I happened to stumble on the category of men looking for women. There was a guy looking for a woman. He said he was very well educated and he was the perfect guy. And he wants a woman that he can put on a pedestal. But this is what he wrote. I want to find a woman that I can put on a pedestol. I lied to you, not a pedal stool. Okay, I'm off of that. So anyhow, Where was I going? I saved the ad. I still have it. But pedal stool. Where was I going? Yes. So, why do I do that? Yeah, it's not as glamorous as you may think it is. But what I want to suggest, a lot of us right now are working on our websites, our business cards, and our marketing. And I think a lot of us are doing this when we haven't really prepared as well as we could. I'm not suggesting that everything needs to be in line and perfect when you're ready to start a business, but I'm going to suggest something to you if you're not quite sure. Why not start a wedding blog if you haven't done that already? And if you already have, wonderful. About weddings. And you want to be... Just want to start up a blog with regards to weddings in your area. And what I'm going to suggest is that you find wedding vendors and write about them. You go out and meet them, you talk to them, and then you write a blog post. You're going to need to do that anyway for your business. Meet vendors, write about them. Go out and check out the venues. Look around, take pictures, shoot some video, write some blog posts. You're going to need to do that anyway for your wedding business. Okay? Do a few weddings on the DL. And what I'm suggesting is any wedding business that comes your way that you're comfortable with, take it. Even if you're not making substantial amounts of money, because if you've been planning weddings for a hobby, you haven't been compensated for them anyway. So rather than worrying and spending forever and forever and forever and forever and forever figuring out how to do the pricing, pick a number. You'll soon know whether it's too high or too low. When people jump on it without any hesitation, it's usually an indication that it might be too low, but that's okay, because your goal right now isn't to make heaps and heaps of money yet. You want to get some photos and you want to get some glowing testimonials. So you make sure that part of your contract specifies that you're going to have access to the photos that you can use in your marketing and that you're going to get some testimonials from your clients. You can't say glowing unless you've provided glowing work, but you do that. So what I'm suggesting is you make the focus of your blog about weddings in your area. There's a lot of generic information about weddings. The knot, wedding wire, wedding channel, you know, they're out there. Martha Stewart Weddings, there's tons of information about weddings. But when someone is getting married in your area, they want to know about what's going on where they are. So you become that expert. And then you set up your blog. You can use WordPress. You can get that started tonight or tomorrow. And again, you don't know what to write. Go out there and meet people. And as you meet them, you write a blog post. You know, met Sherry at XYZ Wedding Cakes. Here are a few pictures of some of her work she's doing. And even if she doesn't have wedding cakes at that moment, which I'm sure she does, just take a few pictures of her work studio. This is what it looks like in the kitchen right before the night before a wedding. She's got three orders. That's information that it's behind the scenes, but what you're doing is you're promoting that vendor. Don't worry about giving away information. It doesn't matter. She's probably advertising anyway, but you're giving your slant. By writing this blog, again, you're collecting information and posting it about vendors and venues. And what's going to happen, if you don't already have one, is you'll begin to find yourself leaning in a particular direction. Guess what? That's your niche. That's your specialty. That's what you're drawn to. And remember, this is just the blog. And then what you want to do is you want to create a link in your menu, and the link says hire me or hire us. And that link is going to be the sole page on that blog that's about you. And all it needs to say is who you are, how you got into the wedding business, what your passion is when it comes to weddings, and if that person is interested or needs your help with planning their big day, to get in contact with you in a contact form. If you want to say that your wedding prices start at X amount of dollars, put that, but you don't even have to say that. But just by positioning yourself as someone who is in the know with regards to weddings in your area, people are just going to come back and get the information. You want to also include a subscription form so people can just sign up to get notifications every time you post information. But you know what? Even if you haven't figured out how to do the email sign up, a blog naturally comes with what's known as an RSS feed. And the RSS feed is just going to your subscribers will have to get an RSS reader, which basically just lets them know whenever there's a new post. That's just a start right there. And you just keep writing information. Your blog posts don't need to be very long. In fact, the shorter the better. Maybe your blog post doesn't have any words. Maybe today's blog post is just the pictures that we just talked about Sherry at the wedding cake studio, or XYZ Wedding Cakes, I think I said, right? That's a blog post. So don't make this difficult for yourself. But what you're doing by creating this blog is that, one, you're becoming an expert. Two, you're learning about all the weddings in your area. But three, you're becoming this reliable resource. And people feel comfortable reaching out to someone who's giving the information to them. I would hope that you feel comfortable to ask me just about anything. I may not get to answer your question right away, but that's always my goal. I would hope that you feel comfortable speaking to me. I don't think we've met personally, but you feel a connection. And I'm suggesting the same thing will happen if you create a blog about weddings in your area. There are a lot of changes. Right now, I think Minnesota is the most recent state in this country that is legalizing same-sex marriage. That's huge. I have yet to plan a same-sex wedding, and a lot of it is because I'm worried that I'm going to say the wrong thing. I keep saying bride and groom, and I don't want to offend. I've got three books here on my shelf about gay weddings that I've got to go through. So, you know, when I start going through that, I may decide that I become the expert in that niche just by my curiosity of reading and wanting to find out that information. And that's all you have to do to get started. Instead of worrying about your business website and your service plans and what you're going to offer and what your packages are, if you're stuck, just start creating a blog about what's going on. People are getting married all the time, all the time. And it's not just men and women now. So I was reading another article that said the wedding industry is so far behind. We just haven't caught up to what's going on. Same-sex marriage is still relatively new. There's a market for you. If you're interested in doing that. There are people that are looking for your services. Now, I know you may or may not be, it may not be something that you're comfortable with. That's fine. We all have different comfort levels. But just remember, you don't need to look like your clients. You don't need to look like your clients. And whatever your issue may be, you have to deal with that. But just because you may not be in agreement with someone's values, that shouldn't, I think, as a business person, prevent you from doing business with them. That's my feeling, because it's like church and state. This is business. But again, I'm not here to tell you what you should or shouldn't do or believe in. But my point is, Don't let that stuff be a hang up for you. And if that is, then move on. You find another area. But instead of sitting here and we're in August, more than halfway through the year, and you said at the beginning of this year, I want to get my wedding business off the ground, and you haven't, well, at least get the wedding blog going. Okay. And I suggest a blog because it's super easy and it's basically free. You just need to reserve a domain name. That's what, $12 maybe for the year. And I think it's even less than that. And hosting. Hosting, it shouldn't cost you more than $7, $8 a month. By the way, if your website is hosted on HostGator or Bluehost, that services went down last week. Weddings for a Living Confetti Talk Show was down off and on. I think, was it Friday or Thursday or one day last week? It was no joke. It was like crazy. But anyhow, I digress. So just do. We don't have time. I have a quote that I had, I can't find it now, about, you know, time. We just don't have time. Just do it already. Just do it. If you mess up, so what? You don't like the post, you delete it, you do something. Just getting into the habit of doing something becomes the norm, so that by the time someone contacts you for, you know, your services, you know, you just pull a number out of the air, whatever, for wedding planning. And I mean, I know there's a strategy to pricing and you got to know what your expenses are. The worst case, you don't charge enough. So what? Next time you charge more. So, you know, don't make this difficult for yourself. Just get started. I don't want December to get here and you're thinking, man, 2013, what happened? Just do already. Just do. I'm a talker. I do the radio show. If you're part of Wedding Business Guide, our next live class, which is this month, third Wednesday of this month, we're going to be talking about doing your own talk show or podcast. That's one way to do it. If you want to sit in front of the camera, do a web TV show or just set up your YouTube channel. Just do something already. If you're the person that snaps pictures all the time, take pictures and have a site that is very image heavy. You don't have to be Style Me Pretty. I'm not suggesting you do that because those things are just beasts on their own. You just do the local area. You just take a little corner of it. You don't have to do the whole city. Maybe you just take a certain borough or a certain county or a certain ethnicity. You know, so just get started already. So instead of focusing on setting up my business website, because I don't know where to start, I know you can start a blog because you know weddings or you're passionate about weddings. So as you learn, what you're doing is you're teaching others what you're learning. Don't be afraid to give away information because that's how it is now. People just want free information. I'm not suggesting that you give away everything, but that's how people get to know, like, and trust you. You won't have to spend as much money on advertising and taking out ads. People already know you. When reporters are looking for a local angle about weddings, your blog is going to come up when they put in your town weddings, because that's what your blog is about. You may get that phone call. I've seen the posts that go back and forth on Facebook and so forth about people that are getting contacted by media. It's not like it was years ago. It's not impossible. It's so doable. So just get started already. Just get started already. Get started already. Okay. I don't want to hear any excuses. And I'm not trying to sound like, you know, I'm up here. I struggle with the same things. And when I just do the blogging thing, it's just, I sit down, I'm like, okay, all right, I'm going to type about them, write about this. Well, usually it's just me talking, but it's information. It's information. Okay. So I just want you to get going. Let me just play a message I got from Claire Baxter. Claire is in Belfast, which is in Ireland, for those of us who are geographically challenged in the United Kingdom. Let's hear what Claire has to say.
Hi, Debbie. This is Claire. I'm calling from Belfast in Ireland. I heard you were doing a question and answer, and I thought I'd send in a question that you might be able to answer. I've got years of experience doing weddings and stuff for other people, but I've finally taken the plunge into setting up my own destination company called The Wedding Company. I hope to be up and running quite soon, and I'll provide a destination wedding service to couples from around the world who wish to have a fairy tale wedding in Scotland or Ireland. I plan to offer a range of cultural and historic venues, including castles, prestigious golf courses, and other unusual locations. But my business plan relies on me featuring a few really interesting venues on my website. And my question is about how I should make first contact with them. In many cases, these venues will already be quite high profile, and so they may not be looking for a wedding planner. I'm not asking them to promote me or even give me preferential rates. I'd just like to feature them on my website, and I want to be able to get across to them that I'll be able to do some promotion on their behalf, and I'll hopefully be able to bring them some new business as well. In my mind, it's win-win for them, but I think I need to sell myself to the right person in the right way. Would you recommend introducing myself in writing first, or do you think I should make an appointment to see their marketing manager, or maybe something else? Hopefully you can give me a bit of advice. Anything you can tell me would be appreciated. Hope that wasn't too long-winded. Thanks very much. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Claire. Great question. I hope you got that. I realized it was only coming through one channel. So to summarize what Claire's saying, she's focusing on destination weddings, and there are some great venues in her area that she wants to go out and meet. Most of them, a lot of them are already on the map, so they're not sort of off the beaten path. They're out there. Everyone knows who they are, but she's not sure how she should reach out to them. Should she call? Should she send them an email? Should she just stop by and ask for the marketing manager? My suggestion, Claire, and for everyone who's listening, is I like to pick up the phone just to make that initial call. Because when I using email the first time around, I think about me receiving an email from someone I don't know. The antenna goes up because I don't know if this person is just BSing or, you know, it's maybe I'm suspicious, but I get a lot of, for lack of a term, better term, crap email. So I like to pick up the phone. And if you get voicemail or if the person's not available or their assistant answers, just let them know who you are, what you do. Practice that. So it's, you know, it's just a couple of sentences. You don't want to ramble on. But I find if I just write the sentence out and say that I'm just, I'm ready to say who it is and what I do, and let them know that you'd like to meet them and you're going to send them an email. So now they're ready. Your name sounds familiar and they're expecting it. Or maybe they've received the email and haven't checked the voicemail, but when they do, it begins to sync. But whatever you do, Claire, my suggestion is to definitely make an appointment to go out there. You can say, you know, that you have, you don't need to hide or pretend to be a bride, but any venue, well-known or not, shouldn't be chasing anyone away that wants to learn more about their site. I mean, and if they are, I wonder, I really, you know, and even if they are, you know, the big guns and are not dying for clients, any person that takes pride in the business, should take up the advantage, the opportunity, excuse me, to show that place off. So my suggestion, Claire, is to pick up the phone and then follow up either with a phone, an email. And then if you don't hear back from them, which would be unusual, is just to reach out again or maybe stop by if they do walk-ins. If I stop by a venue, I'm not trying to tour that site at the moment, unless they're giving me an opportunity to walk around on my own. But I always like to schedule time so that they have a time slot for me. That way we're focused. That way there's less chance of interruption. And they can see that I'm a professional. I'm not just dropping in or I happen to be in the area. If I'm in the area, again, I'll say, hi, I'm Debbie. Your space looks spectacular. I can't wait to tell my clients about this venue. Your clients, what kind of business you're in? Oh, funny, you should ask. And then throughout the course of the conversation, when is a good time for me to come back? I'd love to do that. Hey, Debbie, I've got some time now. Well, you know what? I was actually on my way to this appointment. Can we schedule something? Again, maybe it's just me being selfish, but I want to schedule some time. And the reason for that is so that I can do some more research if I haven't done that yet. And also to go through, make sure that I have my checklist. It's important that you know what you're looking for when you're looking at a site. Because we can, you know, for me, especially with bright, shiny objects, I'll see so many things. But there are some things, other items that are important for you to share with your clients, you know, what's the parking situation like? Do they have a loading dock? How many weddings do they have at any given time? How much time usually is there for setup? What about breakdown? Can the rental company drop off the items the night before? Can the rental items that need to go back to the rental company stay there until Monday? You know, is there a wheelchair ramp? These are the things that you may not, I doubt that you'll remember off the top of your head, and you want to have your checklist when you're going to a venue so that you can ask those questions, share the responses on your blog, and have that information for your file. So that would be my suggestion, Claire. I don't know if anyone has any other input in the chat room, but definitely I just like to have an appointment, but sending an email first time off doesn't always result in a bad thing, because I'm sure a lot of folks are communicating with venues anyway, but I'll make a phone call and then follow up with email because I just want that sort of personal connection. So that would be my suggestion. Okay, but great question, Claire. And if you have a question that you'd like me to try and answer, you can call our talk back line anytime, 24 hours a day. The number is 202-681-2126. Okay? All right. I see quite a few Wedding Business Guide members here today. Welcome. For those of you that don't know, Wedding Business Guide is a resource that I created, which will help you get a part-time wedding day management company off the ground. So there are three different modules. Modules to help you with sort of taking over a wedding, what happens at the end part of the wedding. The second part is getting your getting a business started, the legal stuff, you know, the setup. And then the third part are the documents. So if you're interested in that, just check out weddingbusinessguide.com. But as a member, you also get access to our live monthly webinars. And our last webinar was about creating a blog, but a wedding business blog. So if you haven't checked that out, if you weren't part of the live class, the replay is available in the members area. And our upcoming class for August is about starting your own online talk show or podcast for weddings in your area. So hopefully that will help. I see a few things about, it looks like you guys are talking about how to create your own blog. I'm seeing Blogspot. So you can use WordPress.com, which is the free option, but has less, gives you less control. And there's WordPress.org, which is also free, but it requires you to have your own domain, your own URL, you know, me.com, and hosting so that you can have a live site. But it's still very inexpensive and quite doable. You can also use Blogspot, which is a Google service to get your blog up there. And there are other versions, but those are the top three. Again, the focus for tonight that I just wanted to share with you is to get just get going, because a lot of wedding planners burn out. So I think it's frustrating to go through all the trouble of business website, you know, business cards, marketing material. You work on your welcome kit. You're getting the great t-shirts with your company name. And then 2 years from now, you've changed your mind. So by starting a blog, if you're not sure, you're getting the wheels in motion and you're beginning to see if this is what you want to do. There are so many wedding planners that just stop doing what they're doing. And it, you know, it's because I'm guessing that running a business is very different than just being a wedding planner. It's so different. So, you know, if you're not, I don't want to say if you're not cut out, but if it's not, again, you're doing things that have nothing to do with weddings to run a successful business. And it's hard to do both. It's very difficult to do both. When I had my commercial space, I was everything. I was the face that people saw when they first came through the door. I was the person that answered the phone. I was the person that cleaned the bathroom. I had to vacuum. I mean, all of those things I had to do. Not glamorous at all. And then still get up early Saturday to manage someone's wedding. It's tough. It's really tough. So again, anything I suggest to you is not to put you off, but just to tell you what it's like. And right now I guess because I'm just getting older, it's just so sweet to me now, because a lot of work comes my way without me having to do. And it's not to boast, please. I'm just saying that I've figured out where the happy place is for me. And you know what? It may not be planning weddings every year. I don't have a desire to plan weddings, you know, two or three weddings a month. No more. Past that stage. I enjoy talking to people and consulting. And when people see that you know what you're talking about, they will pay for you to sit down and explain to them what they need to do. And usually what they'll ask for is for day of services. But you can charge a lot more for those services once they realize that you know what you're doing. You don't want to get caught up in trying to plan a wedding and manage a wedding by yourself. You want to get a team of people that you can have with you on the wedding day, or better still, that you can send out to manage your clients' weddings. There's no reason for you to do that. You can do all the talking and the managing, all the designing and the marketing, and have other people do this for you. When I did my weddings, I was trying to run around like a mad woman. It was crazy. And I'd come home and say, I don't know if I want to do this, because it wasn't fun. So I'm just telling you like it is. There are a lot of different angles for weddings. I was just reading an article today about a guy that sets up his proposal business. But you know what? He's doing it very low key. And he says because he doesn't want the client to know, like if it's the guy contacting him to do set up the proposal, he doesn't want the fiance to think assuming it's always a man and a woman, but he doesn't want the other person to think that this company did everything. The person is, his clients are paying him to do the proposal planning, but he's not trying to take credit for that. Isn't that great? So he's not announcing. He's promoting, but he's not promoting. He's sort of keeping it on the DL. And I know for me, a lot of my clients now a lot of times they don't even want their stuff out there front and center. It's sort of like Debbie's going to come in and get it done and I'm out. There's no glamour in what I'm doing. But I want to see that. It's, I hate to say it, but it's great to get paid for that. But it's not front and center. I'm not out there. I mean, I'm not posting a whole bunch of pictures because a lot of the people that are hiring me don't even want that. They don't want to be front and center. That's not their style. They just want things done a certain way, want us to blend in the background and get out when it's done. That's the world it is. So have I just sort of put you off it completely? I bet you I have. But that's not my intention. I'm just telling you what the experience has been for me. And it's been a lot more profitable that way. Okay. So anyway, looks like you guys are rocking and rolling in the chat room. I'm going to wrap things up because I promised it was going to be about a 30-minute show. I've been taking the last few weeks just working on a few different things. And even sometimes I need to take a break from weddings. And it's sort of like when you do that, you sort of like being, they say absence make the heart grow fonder, and then you kind of want to rush back in. And right now I'm in the rush. I want to get right back into weddings again. So, our next live show, which will be the third Tuesday, sweating like a big old swabby. is Tuesday, August the 20th. Isn't that crazy? The year was just going by. Guest 11 is saying, can you make one of the pages on your WordPress website a blog? Yeah. So exactly. Yes, you can. So if you have a website, WordPress was designed as a blogging platform, but WordPress can also be used as a content management system, which is really what it is, which basically means you can use the pages, have permanent static pages without actually using it. So you've got pages and you've got blog posts. So the pages would be like your contact us, your homepage, your about us page. But the blog is basically like a diary online in reverse chronological order, meaning the most current stuff is, you know, at the top. So yes, you can take one page of your existing website and make that the blog. So it's almost like that's your diary. So your website is all about your company, the services, your packages, your pricing, if you choose to put that information. But the blog is sort of like, this is me. This is what I'm working on. This is what I like. This is my opinion on this. Think of it like it's your own little news magazine. This is what's going on in the wedding industry. Saw this today. Isn't this great? This is what we talked about when I met with this dessert bar company. So make the definitely you can use the page as the blog. You can dedicate an entire blog just as your blog, or you can take one page from your website as a blog. So that's a great question, guest 11. So yes, absolutely, you can do that. And there are different ways to do that. Or you can just put the link, a link on your website that just says blog, and that takes you to a completely different site, or it can just take you to a page within your existing setup. Does that make sense? Okay. And guest 11 is saying, thank you, Debbie. You're welcome. That is what I want to do. Now I just have to figure out how to do it. Just get started. Make the first blog post about, you know, who you are, what you do, what your passion is. You can say, you know, what you like about weddings, what you don't. Don't worry about, you know, putting certain people off. The people that you put off, you don't want to do business with because you guys are not in sync, right? So it's okay. Be you. Your blog is where you get to be you. And your wedding business website is all about your wedding business. People do business with you. So let them see what it is you believe in and what you connect with. And you'll connect with just a special group of people. And those are the people that are going to come and, you know, honor you, going to want to do business with you. All right. So that's it. Sweating again. I'm going to take a card and just fan. All right. So I think that's it. I hope Shatasha's asking, how many days a week would you suggest a new blog should be posted? Depends on how much time you have. At least weekly. Anything less than that, and people have a tendency to forget about you. Remember, when people are getting married, it's just a certain amount of time. So if someone only has 6 weeks to plan a wedding and you're posting every other week, it's not enough time for them to get to know you. Some people post several times a day. Some people post once a day, three times a week, whatever works well for you. But what I like, the great thing about most blogging platforms is you can sit down one day a week and say, okay, I'm going to do my three blog posts for this week and just schedule them for the dates that you want them to go out. You don't have to do them the day that the post is scheduled. So today's Tuesday, I can write my post for tomorrow, Wednesday, a post for Friday, and a post for Sunday. I can create all of them now and just schedule a date and then send them out. But I would say no less than once a week. Okay. There's a lot of information and a lot of knowledgeable people just here in the chat from what I can see. If you'd like to be part of the Confetti Insiders Facebook group, you can just go to confettitalkshow.com/insiders. I see several friend requests. I'm sorry, I'm a Facebook hater, not like what you would think. I'm dealing with Facebook because I know what Facebook can connect me to. But on a personal level, I don't usually do the friend request thing. It's not because I think I'm better than anyone. I just, on a personal level, Facebook is just not for me. And I've decided that I'm old enough in my life to decide what I want and what I don't want and what I want to do and what I don't want to do. I don't want to do it. But I will deal with Facebook for the group and the business page. There, I said it. But on the personal level, I don't do it. So it'll come back to bite me in the butt, but I still believe that what I'm doing is the right thing. So I'm always trying to be transparent, but that's just me. But please still, having said that, the big hypocrite, you can still go over to Facebook. You can still go over and be part of the Confetti Insiders group. But by the way, Confetti also has its own Facebook page, right? So you can go to facebook.com/confettiradio. All right. But I'm sorry. I know the benefits for business and I'm not knocking that, but just on a personal level. Athena, stop it. You know, I'm not on Pinterest. No, I'm not there yet. So trying to show me up. Shatasha says, I'm sorry for those of you on the phone. Athena's asking me if I'm on Pinterest yet. No. I know better. I know better. I'm trying to get there. You know what it is now? I even said to my daughter, do I do Instagram or do I do Pinterest now? I don't know. I'm not quite sure. But I'm just curious. Athena, you are, I know, and Athena is our social expert. And I know Athena's supposed to come on and we're supposed to do something together. Athena, are you doing Pinterest or are you doing Instagram? I'm curious. Which one? Or are you doing both? I bet you she's doing both. Don't you just hate her sometimes? Oh, Pinterest for Katie. Guest 11, Pinterest. Athena's doing both. Nancy's saying, I know there are so many platforms. My sister just signed me up for Instagram. Yeah, I started putting in my name for Instagram and then stopped. I don't know what my problem is. Donna's Pinterest. Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious. There'll be something else tomorrow. Okay. Amore Pinterest. Okay. A bit of both, huh? Shatasha, you haven't decided what to do with Instagram. You know, I was just looking at Instagram. My daughter's on it because I can barely have my daughter talk to me. I'm like, here, up here, because she's always down here like this on her phone. But she's on Instagram. She says she never even touched Pinterest. But, you know, that's on a different level. I'm just curious as to... Guest 11 is saying you don't get many leads back to your site. Oh, from what? From Instagram or Pinterest? Yeah. Athena saying Pinterest are my ideas and inspiration and videos and completed work. Clarissa says, congrats, Nancy, on your Instagram. Baby steps, baby steps. Nancy says she's heard that it's like Twitter on steroids, but good. I hear you get a lot of traffic. You mean on Instagram, Nance? Yeah. Okay. Oh, who said Pinterest sends visits to your site? Precious. Okay. Hi, Precious. I haven't spoken to Precious in a while. So you guys are on the social media thing. Well, that might sound like a complete idiot. All right. Okay. I'm going cause I'm just here melting. It's great seeing you. And, talking to everyone. Again, you know, if you need to call, I'd love to hear your voice. The talkback line is 202-681-2126. Today's show is episode number 356. So when it posts, it'll be confettitalkshow.com/356. Confetti is also on iTunes. confettitalkshow.com/iTunes. Please, if you want to subscribe on iTunes, do that. But even better, what I would love for you to do is to leave a review. That helps people that don't know anything about the show, as if. Okay? As always, I want to wish you enjoy the rest of your week. And I look forward to communicating with you soon. Maybe I should get on Instagram. I just keep seeing all this talk about Instagram. I feel a little lonely and left out. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Debbie Quain, and confettitalkshow.com/356 is the link for today's show. You can post your comments, ask your questions. I'd love to hear from you. As always, love and success. Have a great, great evening.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to listen to Confetti, the talk show for wedding planners on confettitalkshow.com. Thank you.
Confetti, a wedding planning business talk show.